Blog Talk Radio.
Brother like me and I took them chances on you. I was fucking all them hoes in the street. You left and I'm feeling lonely. I've been sipping and I'm trying to get sober. I need about 3 Coronas. Girl, I can't even focus. Now I'm holding on to this bottle. Still thinking about what I did. I know it ain't true. I gotta sip slow. I know this ain't how I live. But I still want to. Baby girl, let's shit. Talk for a minute, you don't even have to stay long. And I miss when you used to let me hit it from the back. You're telling me go deep and I stay long. And
that's why I'm sipping,
trying to get you out my mind.
I do stupid shit, you run and leave. That's why we do this all the time. This time there's a difference, girl, cause you ain't coming back like you used to. And I've been sipping more than I used to do.
I'm telling you, girl, that I miss you. And everything is no lie. I've been sipping all on this liquor, trying to tell myself it's alright. Just the other day, I had to ask myself, how could I ever do you like that?
Ooh.
I fuck up once and then a few more times, but you will still come right back. I know it seems like I'm drowning in my own sorrow. And maybe I'm a fool for that, you know I need you back. It's a love-hate thing, what we got. You be like no strings attached. It seems like every time we fight, same shit. I'm young and dumb, selfish. I keep a lot of hoes in my phone. I be damned if you wrong, what I need is you. Dying on the inside, but I'm steady trying to keep it cool. And if I don't get you back tonight, I'ma need a couple bottles of the Absolute. Cause right now I'm sipping, tripping,
trying to get you out my mind. I do stupid shit, you run and leave. And I swear we do this all the time. This time there's a difference, girl, cause you ain't coming back like you used to. And I've been sipping more than I used to do.
I'm telling you, girl, that I miss you. On everything is no lie. I've been sipping all on this liquor, trying to tell myself it's alright. E&J, that Hennessy, VSOP, I need it if you're not with me. I gotta have it if you're not with me. One shot turns into a double. Without you, girl, I'm in trouble. It ain't even about your sex or the way you dress. I'm just trying to confess that I love you. E&J, that Hennessy, VSOP, I need it if you're not with me. I gotta have it if you're not with me. One shot turns into a double. Without you, girl, I'm in trouble. It ain't even about your sex or the way you dress. I'm just trying to confess. I've been drinking all night.
You like? Don't be scared, come closer. You never saw me like this before, huh? I've been a goody daddy, but I don't have to be if you don't want. I feel your nasty baby. No time for games, no rules, just play. Hope you've been thinking about the same thing. I'm just saying what's on my mind. You've been good, but now it's time to show love what we made of. No time for games, no rules, just play. I hope you want me in the same way. Every time I close my eyes, all I dream about is making love. Making love. It's just all the things I see when you're inside of me that keep my mind going.
You know, young rich niggas. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money though.
Hey!
Raindrops, drop top, drop top, smoking on cook in the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, dot dot dot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
I don't trust nobody, grip the trigger, nobody. Call up the gang and they come and get janked. Cry me a river, give you a tissue.
Hey.
Bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Bah.
My niggas is savage, ruthless.
Savage.
We got better than 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Dude.
My niggas is savage, ruthless.
Hey.
We got better than 100 rounds too.
All set.
Woo, 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 woo. Records on records, got backers on backers, I'm riding around in a crew.
Cool.
I take your beat right from you,
you.
Bitch, I'm a dog, woo. Beat down her walls, loose.
Hey.
Hop in the brawl, woo.
Skrr.
I tell that bitch to come comfort me.
Comfort me.
I swear these niggas is under me.
Hey.
The hate and the devil keep jumping me.
Jumping me.
Back rows on me, keep me company.
Cash.
Hey, we do the most, most, yeah. Pull up and goes,
woo.
Yeah, my diamonds a choker. Holding a bar with no holster.
Bah.
Read the ruler, diamond cooler.
Cooler.
This a roller, not a mule.
Hey.
Dabbing on them like the usual.
Damn.
Magic with the brick do voodoo.
Magic.
Courtside with a bad bitch.
Bitch.
Then I send the bitch through Uber.
Go.
I'm young and rich and plus I'm bougie.
Hey.
I'm not stupid, so I keep the Uzi. Records on records, got back as I'm back as so my money making my back ache.
Ah.
You niggas got a low act rate.
Act.
We from the north, yeah, that way.
No.
That could be blunt in the ashtray. Two bitches just now some no smash tag.
Smash.
Hop in the limb, have a drag race.
Smash.
I let them birds take a bath, baby.
Hey.
Raindrop,
drip,
drop top, smoking on cooking the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot, pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
I don't trust nobody, grip the trigger.
Nobody.
Call up the gang and they come and get janked. Cry me a river, give you a
tissue.
Bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Bah.
My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Savage.
We got thudders and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Dope.
My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Hey.
We got thudders and 100 rounds too. Pour, dropping money out of space. Kid, cuz, right, introduce me to your bitch's wifey. And we know she slutty. Broke a brick down, nutty, buddy. Now that nigga ducky. Don't move too fast, I might shoot you. Draco bad and bougie. I'm always hanging with shooters. I be posted somewhere secluded. Still be playing with pots and pans. Coming Quavo, Ratatouille. Run with that set, call me boobies. When I'm on stage, show me boobies. Ice on my neck on the coolest. How about the suicide with the ooze? I pull up, I pull up, I pull up. I hop out with all of the drugs and the good luck. I'm cooking, I'm whipping into it. Rock up, let it lock up. I gave her 10 racks, I told her go shopping and spend it all at the pop-up. These bitches, they fucking suck dick and they bustin' for Instagram. Get your clout up. Yeah, that way. Float on the track like a Segway. Yeah, that way. I used to trap by the subway. Yeah, that way. Young nigga trap with the AK. Yeah, that way. Big Dyko, get the dope Macy. Gray. Raindrop, drop top, smoking on cooking the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot, pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
I don't trust nobody, grip the trigger.
Nobody.
Call up the gang and they come and get janked. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Bah.
My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Savage.
We got thudders and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Oh.
My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Hey.
We got thudders and 100 rounds too.
Now what? Yeah. Yeah.
She back to the bone.
Ayy,
wait. These niggas watching. I swear to God, they be my clones.
Yeah.
Hey. Huh? Switching my hoes like my flows.
Whoa.
Switching my flows like my clothes.
Yeah.
She gon' shoot in that gun, no reload. Ooh. Now she won't fuck with my crew. Cause the money come all out the roof. Try to Rari that bitch on the roof. Wait, what kind of Rari? 458. All of these niggas they hate. Try to hide shit through the gate. Look, go to strip club, make it rain.
Yeah,
so much money they use rakes.
Count
100,000 in your face. Yeah, then put 300 right in a safe. Met her today, yeah. She talked to me like she knew me,
yeah.
Go to sleep in a jacuzzi,
yeah.
Waking up right to a two-piece,
yeah.
Counting that paper like loose leaf,
yeah.
Getting that chicken with blue cheese,
yeah.
Boy, you so fit like my collar, you snake. And I swear to God, that be that Gucci.
Yeah.
And you know we winning, yeah. We is not losing. Try play your song, it ain't move me.
What?
Saw your girl once, that she choosing, yeah.
Raindrop, drop top, smoking on cooking the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, dot, dot,
yeah.
Cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
I don't trust nobody, grip the trigger.
Yeah.
Call up the gang and they come and get janked. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Savage.
We got thudders and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie,
bad.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Yeah.
We got thudders and 100 rounds too.
Home, grown vibing, not more than my phone. No, leave me alone, me on my own, no.
Look,
I cut the bitch off like an edit. My daddy is G, it's genetic. I heard your new shit is pathetic. It contrasts to be shredded. To my dogs on a private jet from the public house, and I kept a G, yeah, 1,000. Click star studded like the Paramount money. Everything I do is righteous. Betting on me is a right risk. Even in a fucking crisis, I'm never on some switching side shit. I switch gears to the night shift. Blacking out cause I'm enlightened. God talk to me in silence, but I hear him every time, man.
Thank you, God. God bless you. Thank
Last
you so
night
much.
Took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Wake up every morning, by the night I count stacks. Knew that ass was real when I hit it, bounce back.
You ain't getting shit.
Last night took a L, but tonight I bounce back. Boy, I've been broke as hell, cash the check and bounce back. D-Town LAX, every week I bounce back. If you a real one, then you know how to bounce back. Look. I woke up in beast mode,
beast.
With my girl that's beauty in the beast though. Bitch, I fight these niggas sleep though. Only thing that sold out is the seat though.
Never sold my soul, not right now.
Nigga, how dare you stand before me and I respect my authority. If you fuck with my glory, I'ma drop the L and get gory. I done did everything except worry, hella drama, my life story. Faith of a mustard seed, I kept growing, I knew that this life was meant for me.
So we ready? We ready to roll? Okay then, let's go. It's that moment. The moment of the evening you definitely don't want to miss. We got Mona and Elijah non-script on the drip. And on the drip we talk that literary shit while taking articulated risks. So trust, your ears gonna love you for this. We commit to this misbehavior of myths and written scripts that framed our intellect improperly. Boasted by low-quality scholarly actors with thinking in poverty, like occupants of public housing property. Our novelty is highlighting thoughts from authors, carefully cultivated with Elijah and Flo. Authors come to this show and when they go, believe they leave fully Mona faded. Yo, literary talks located on the Drifting Mic platform in pure form, like when life is born. Raindrops come hard, but there is sun after the storm. So for the next 2 hours, soak in the light as the shining rays of the night fills you with life. We got two dynamics on the mic. This network is Drift the Mic, and you are listening to Literary Talks. Literary Talks with Mona. What's up, y'all? Mona, Elijah, yo.
And we're live. Every time I try to do the sound effect applause, this studio board never cooperates. But that was our intro. Thank you to the CEO of Drip the Mic Network, IV Pulmonologist Robinson, for that awesome intro. Shout out to IV and his lovely wife, Deidre. They are the CEOs of Drip the Mic Network. You are here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Literary Talks with Mona. I'm Mona, once again, on Drip the Mic Network. So my original co-host, Elijah Foreman, he's been like, working, started a new job a couple months ago. So he's been like, a little kind of MIA, he comes, when he can. And then I have a substitute co-host, Serena Ree, but she's unable to make it tonight. So shout out to her baby boy on his 8th birthday. Happy birthday, little Dre. So it's going to be me. I have an awesome, awesome featured guest author tonight. Her debut was yesterday. We're going to talk about her debut. Hold on. I'm about to give you the name, Trillis Boss Wife, the Baddest Chick, by our featured guest author tonight. I'm going to announce her in a couple of seconds. I'm going to read her bio. That's that's usually the the itinerary before I do the authors. I read their bio, and so when they do come in, then in their own words, they could basically, you know, give another intro of themselves. But I just want to give like a preview of who we will be chatting with tonight. So running a little late. So usually I do like my intro. I give like a, you know, highlight of what's going on in the literary industry. This is Literary Talks with Mona, and we talk about the literary world, urban fiction. So real quick, before I do read our featured guest author's bio, let me, once again, everybody knows I'm also Mona Promotes on Facebook. I promote for authors in the industry. I'm a social media promoter. By 2023, I will be navigating towards promoting outside social media. I'll still be promoting on social media, but I'm branching my promo company, so I'm excited about that. I'll be giving more details as the months go by, as we wind down towards the end of 2022, so I'm really, really excited. Shout out to my publishing company, Blue Notes Publications. We have some awesome lineup coming with, we have a few new authors that I'll be announcing within the next, few weeks. We have some debuts along with some releases by myself, yours truly, as well as, like I said, a couple debuts by two new authors, and we have some exciting releases coming up. I have a couple of announcements. We have a surprise, a very special collaboration. So once again, shout out to Blue Nose Publication. That's my company. I'm the CEO, but I also have, I'm part CEO. Shout out to my business partner and part CEO, Jabril, author Jabril Williams. So make sure you check out Jabril's most recent releases, Loyal to the Soil 3, the finale, and Heart of a Savage 4, the finale. He also has been featured on our anthology with myself. We did a collaboration together, Sex Me Like You Love Me. It's part of an anthology that we did under Blue Notes. Also featured on the anthology is, once again, my substitute co-host, author Serene Ari, along with author Shana Nicole. So make sure y'all check that out. The anthology is called When the Heart Wants. It's available on Amazon.com. 3 hot erotica stories by myself, Jabril Williams, Shana Nicole, and Serene Ari. Also, Jabril have a collaboration with author Destiny Sky. Part 2 dropped last week. It's a hot series, y'all. It's street lit urban romance. Make sure y'all check it out. It's called Keys to a Goon's Heart. Part 1 and 2 is available. They working real fast. They not playing no games, because part 3 is coming real, real soon. So y'all make sure y'all support my partners. Keys to a Goon's Heart, Part 1 and 2. And his catalog, just head on over to Amazon.com, author Jabril Williams. Okay. I have a couple of releases coming this month, but I'll try to announce it before the show is over. If not, then I'll make sure I'll announce next Wednesday. We also have a new show coming to Drip the Mic Network that will also be featuring myself. I just love talking on mic. along with Serena Ree will also be a co-host, but we also have an author. I'll be announcing him. He was here last week. Shout out to author Teddy Mack. But we have a new show coming to Drip the Mic Network. It's gonna be like a midnight session. So this is for all you insomnia folks that suffer from insomnia like me, all you late night folks. So we'll be announcing it within the next week, because it's debuting next Saturday, so I'm waiting for the flyers to be ready. I'll be posting the flyers, so make sure you stay tuned. You keep an eye on my page, the Mona Promotes page. Also, I have a promotional page called Talk to the Heart promotional page. It also has links by other authors that I don't promote for, but my main page, Mona Promotes. have awesome links by the awesome releases by the talented authors that I do promote for. Also, check out Literary Talks with Mona, the business page on Facebook. If you go on there, you'll find all our past shows, the past guests that have been featured. You know, we've been on since April. So this is show number 24. If you go on Literary Talks with Mona business page, you will find all our past guests that's been featured. So once again, Literary Talks with Mona business page. All right, y'all. Okay, so that's it for the intro. I'll be making more announcements. I'll be making more announcements next Wednesday. I'm going to log on early so I could give you some releases that's coming out under Blue Notes next week, as well as shout out to, in addition to our featured guest author, her release was yesterday. We also have today's release for the author that I promote for. It's author Lady Lisa. Her release, she has a release today. Daddy's For a Little Rich Girl Part 2 has dropped today. So make sure y'all support my client, Lady Lisa, and her daughter, Shayla Renee. Arshe presents along with Unique Pen Publications. All right, y'all. She's an author who's signed under Cohort. She took a break for a while, so this is actually her first release in a real long time. She took a much needed break. Sometimes that's necessary in this industry. So but she's back, y'all. So her release. Her release is her first release, and it's once again it's called The Trillis. Hold on one second. I'm trying to pull up her bio. Give me one sec. I don't want to mess up her title. The Trillis Boss, Wife the Baddest Chick by Shantae Moore. I'm going to read her bio, then I'm going to bring her in. We're going to give her a warm welcome, and then she's going to introduce herself and let us know a little bit about herself, and we're going to take it from there, y'all. Okay. Shantae Moore was born and raised in Salisbury, Maryland. Hey, that's not far from me. Daughter to an avid reader, her love for literature developed at a young age. She penned her first novel in 2015 to help her make sense of the heartbreak she was experiencing at the time. She now writes Black women's fiction and urban romance, where her stories demonstrate relatable struggles as well as the power and rewards of love. Armed with a BS in business, she writes full-time and works in the hospitality industry. With dedication and hard work, she hopes to find her audience and produce books that serve as an escape to as many readers as possible. So everybody, let's give a warm welcome to author Shantae Moore. I'm going to clap until I can figure out my clap. My clapping kind of fake. I'm having trouble locating it. So let's give a warm clap, y'all, to author Shantae Moore.
Hi, y'all. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. Just sitting tight, was waiting through the intro, but I'm good. I'm great, actually.
Right. Yeah, so I'm a little late with the intro. I had to play music. I was having trouble with the board, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. How are you feeling?
I'm good, and thank you so much for having me. I love doing the interviews. I think that's a really dope. I think it's really dope, becoming an author doing interviews.
Right. I mean, I try to encourage authors that interviews is a part of being an author. It's part of the author's world. The readers love it. They love to get to know, you know, the authors on a more personal level. Sometimes just dropping your link, you know, is not always the readers. They really, you know, they get on Facebook, they send you friend requests, they join your reading group, you know, as an attempt to get to know more of you, like, you know, the woman and the man behind the mask. You know, so I tell that to the male and female authors all the time. You know, so a lot of these authors, you know, they're not really saying much. You know, they come on, they drop a link, they come on Facebook, they don't say much, and the readers, they really want to interact with you. I know I've become a little bit antisocial in the past 2 years. I don't even, and I've had readers who take notice, they've come to my inbox, I was like, how come you don't say nothing on your main page anymore? Yeah, so on my other page, I don't say much in the past year. It really came from Mark blocking authors left and right. So now I'm scared to say anything, really.
Yeah. I definitely understand that.
Right. So, but once I became a promoter, you know, I just, you know, when I'm promoting on this page, Mona Promotes, I'm also tagging my main page. So my main page has become, like, you know, just like a book page, you know, so I don't really post on there. Every once in a while, like, you know, I'll go and I'll post pictures of myself and my kids, but, you know, other than that, I don't really post much. But I encourage readers to do interviews. I've done live. I also host live interviews. I haven't, once I started doing this podcast, I haven't really done live anymore, but I am going to start doing live book discussions again. The readers, they love that, so looking forward to that. And I also have another podcast coming, so I'm excited about that. But yes, interviews are a great way to connect with the readers. They love to talk with us. So matter of fact, we're chatting with author Shante Moore. Please call in 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak to Shante if you have any questions for her. And I also have the pre-show questions that if anybody don't feel like talking directly to the author, you can also email your questions to me to bluenotes2022@yahoo.com, and I can, you know, read the questions on the show for you. All right. Okay, so I definitely want to talk about your new release yesterday. Shout out to your release yesterday. Are you excited?
I am. It's really exciting to be back, to be back telling
right.
stories again. I was really happy.
Yes. So do you feel good about the break that you took? Like, do you feel like it was necessary?
I do, just more so for clarity and just to stay true to myself and my pen and figure out exactly what, figure out a strategy more so when I came back. So I think it was definitely needed, and I feel like I came back a lot stronger than before, and definitely going to be a lot more consistent than before.
Yes. Awesome. All right, well, I know in this industry, sometimes it's necessary. A break is definitely recommended. Sometimes, you know, it's a must. I've taken a break on my own way. I never really left Facebook, but, I've taken a break as far as, like, you know, I didn't really release, you know, a full book in a long time. So sometimes, you know, it's good to take a break in one way or the other.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So I want you to, I read your bio, but I want you in your own words to basically introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about you.
All right. So I hail from Salisbury, Maryland. It's a little town on the eastern shore of Maryland by Ocean City. Growing up, it was always kind of boring, so I read a lot. My mom read a lot. She still reads a lot to this day. So a lot of my time was I did a lot of reading to pass time. When I was in, like, third grade, I wrote poems, and it's just always been a love of mine, just reading and eventually writing. I penned my first novel, like I said, in 2015, just to play around with things and kind of create a story about everything that I was going through at the time. And my inspiration, honestly, is Jay Jones. I read her book, and I saw where she had did it. She was very transparent about her progress and her steps to be successful. And I read a lot of her work, and she inspired me kind of to just reading her work to put myself out there and drop my story to the world.
Yes, 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 so most definitely.
Her work.
Shout out to Jay Jones.
Yeah, I love her work. She was one of those authors that kind of inspired me to get out there and write.
Awesome. Okay, so I see in your bio, okay, so you became a published author, so you basically came on the scene in 2015?
I came on the scene in 2015, just kind of dumping my work out there, not really no direction. I signed with Cold Hard Signature in, I think, 2019, and that's when things kind of picked up and I got a larger audience. So shout out to Cold Hard Signature. he definitely gave me a larger audience and helped me grow.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so have you ever been signed? Have you always been signed with a publisher?
Initially, I started out independent, but I wanted to grow and really have the marketing or advertising budget to do so. Once I got then, you know, things kind of took off.
So what is the difference? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Yep.
Okay, I thought we had a bad connection. Okay, so what is the difference between being signed with a publisher and being self-independent?
Being independent, I feel like you have a lot more freedom to do whatever you want and to drop however you want. However, if you know nothing about the publishing industry, that can be a recipe for disaster. You do need to have a budget, and a lot of people don't really know where to begin. You don't know how to create ads. So it has this perk being independent. When you're signed, you have somebody kind of doing things for you, and you're kind of learning as you go. So you kind of got more guidance, but it does take away a lot of your freedom.
Right, right. So I know a lot of authors. I encourage authors to self-publish, but new authors, I feel like, you know, it's a good thing to sign under a publisher, you know, to help increase your fan base. Sometimes without a fan base, you can really, like, struggle, you know, as a indie author. So did you find yourself, was it easier for you to build your fan base when you signed under a company?
Definitely. When I was indie, I did have a lot of readers. I did the perma-free thing where I dropped the first book free and then a couple books after that came. So I did gain a lot of readers there. Once I signed, then I gained a lot of readers there. I'm sorry, I missed the question. My mind is all over the place. All right.
No, it's okay. You're good. You said you lost track of the question.
Yeah, I lost track of the question. I'm sorry.
No. I was just asking, like, did you find it hard to, was it easier to build a fan base while founding a publisher than it was when you self-published?
Okay. I feel like it was more difficult. At the time when I first started, I had the advertising budget and a marketing budget, but I didn't know what to do with it. And then later, my budget was gone because I kind of squandered it because I had no direction. Once I got signed, you have a team pushing. You know, it's just like a label with a music artist. You got people pushing and promoting you. You got kind of like a army behind you. You're your own army when you're independent. I love seeing independent writers that thrive, but I do suggest
getting with a publisher who wants to see you grow and who's okay with you branching out as an independent, as an independent writer. Because then you'll have your fan base and your name will already be out there versus kind of going out there with nothing, no readers or anything. So learn, branch out if you can.
Yes. Okay, so you've been signed with Cold Heart, like how many years? Is he the only publisher you've been with?
Yeah, he is the only publisher that I've been with. I really don't like, I don't want to call it publisher hopping. I see some people who, okay. Go different publishers, the publisher, the publisher. I try not to, I really don't like that for myself. So I try to stick it out with what I know. Yeah.
Right. No, I totally understand that. Okay. So here's an interesting thing about this business that it's just like when you become an author and you do sign with a publisher, it's sort of like entering a relationship or a marriage. You go into it with the 100%, 1,000% intention to ride it for life, right? Because I know when I signed my first publishing deal, it was to, I'm thinking, okay, I'm excited, it was, I didn't really think about publishing, branch it out on my own. I wanted to, I was hoping that it would have worked out for like a real long time. I really never wanted to really, become a self-publisher author or at least dabble with it a little bit, but still be signed under somebody that I can grow with and that I could have 10 sisters and 10 brothers to root each other on. I actually like being signed under a publisher, have other 10 sisters, 10 brothers that are, support each other, so that we could go one release day, root each other. It's actually a good feeling. Sometimes when you are self indie author, you feel lonely sometimes.
It is. Especially until you get readers, because your readers become like family once you gain your readers.
Yes, yes.
In the beginning, it's like, happy release day to me. You don't have a lot of people saying happy release day and pushing for you. But once you get readers, they'll hop in your inbox like happy release day, and it's really it's really motivating. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now I've never said happy release day to me.
I
think I might try it with my next release. It's something that I never really said, but even when I became a self-published author, it's just something that I never said. But no, it's actually, like I said, when I had signed with a publisher, I thought it was going to be for the long run. Never did in a million years that I thought that it was going to, turn bad and that, that I was going to be, going through what I went through with my first publisher and that I was going to be fighting for my book back. I don't like, publisher hopping either. I've heard it being called that, so we're going to call that for now. We're going to say that. We're going to give it that name for now. But there have been quite a few authors who do go from one publisher to another. Then 2 years later, they're like under their first publisher, like, damn, you
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a good look. But I do say for those who are considering getting in the industry, you really need to like that person that you're entering that contract with. Because you said, it's a relationship. You might not like how they talk to you, but they mean well. So you really need to get to know who you're signing with and see how they do business. Because everybody doesn't do good business. I was fortunate to get with somebody who does good business, even though he has a tough as nails approach. And that had to, that grew on me. Because we used to fight like cats and dogs, but I knew he meant well, and it's helped me a lot. So
okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. It's quite interesting. Okay, so I don't want to say nothing, so I don't want to offend nobody, but that's interesting that you say that, you know, that despite the fact you guys used to fight like cats and dogs, you felt like, you know, he was, however he spoke or whatever, you know, that he meant well. But it's interesting, you know, I've promoted for, you know, a few other authors that signed under the same company who, you know, didn't always feel the same way. You know, when it comes to sometimes people perceive a person's lingo, you know, differently, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And,
but, you know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, as females, we can, you know, I can be sensitive. I'm going to say me. I can be sensitive. And I'm not going to say we fight like cats and dogs. We disagreed on some things. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm coming into this industry. I'm learning. So something I might not agree with, we could disagree. But, you know, I really feel like he means well. He's a good businessman. And like I said before, you have to go into a contract or a relationship with your publisher, and you have to really like them as an individual. Otherwise, it won't work because something they may say may offend you. But, you know, I have nothing but good things to say for the most part, you know. So, yeah.
Right. I'm trying to I thought a caller had came in. Hold on. Okay, so we're chatting. Somebody did call in, but then they hung up. Okay, so we're chatting with Shante Moore. Please call 646-270-0355. Press 1 to speak. Yeah, somebody had called in, but then they hung up. Okay, so how many books do you have exactly on your catalog?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I see a lot of people who actually keep up with that. And I'm one of those people that don't. I don't consider, like, book one, book two, book three different books. I look at it like that's one book. So how many – I look at them like projects. So I have A Millionaire and a Farming Chick. I did a couple collaborations. I'm going to estimate and say around 7 or 8.
Okay, yeah. Wait, how many releases do you have?
Can you hear me? Okay, I have like 7 or 8 projects that I've done. I know some people count like each part of a series. I don't count each part of a series. I count a whole series of the book. That's just my personal thing, because I do see some people who are like, I have 50 books, 100 books. I don't count books like that. I just count the series as projects.
Okay. So you consider a series like a full project? You don't consider like individual work?
No, not part one, part two, part three.
Right.
Each part I consider one project, so one book. Independent work, Millionaire Project Chick, Tales from the Trap. I never sat down and actually counted them. I would say I have 7.
Right. Okay, so that's a total of, I could have sworn you had more than that.
I probably do. I got some collaborations and some independent projects that I did.
Right. Yeah, because I've been promoted for you since 2021, and I know it's been more than 7.
You see how off I'm a mess, so you probably know better than me.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, when I promoted for an author for quite a long time, I become like, you know, and then especially if I read your work as well, then, you know, it stays in my memory bank. So I was like, I know she, I've done promoted more than 7 books for her. And then you have done a couple, maybe about, I believe it was 2 or 3 collaborations with, I know one of them was author Shanice. Shout out to Shanice. I haven't heard from her.
Yeah.
She's been MIA as well.
Yeah. She's been, she had a baby, so she was home just taking care of a little one. But I talk to her every now and then just to check on her. But shout out to Shanice. I love her.
Yes.
She's so sweet.
Yes, she is. I promoted for her as well. Yeah, I miss her. So, you know, I really hope she comes back because she's a great writer as well. You and her, you know, that collaboration you guys did, you really did your thing. What's the name of that collaboration? Shout it out.
That D hit different when he wrote. I like writing that.
Yes.
That was fun to write.
I got I didn't read part two and three, but yeah, good. I like title alone, you know, everybody should definitely run quick. So what was like working on that collaboration?
She has some really good ideas. I'm more of an urban writer. Like, I write hood.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my characters are really ratchet and be fighting. And she's more romance. So she can really throw down on a romance scene. So it was fun working with her because she gives
mm-hmm.
me a different perspective on writing.
Right.
And she's more too with building my romance writing.
Right. Where did that story idea come from?
Say that again.
Where did that story idea come from?
Cole, he basically gives us all of our titles. So once he gives us our titles, we're pretty much free to do whatever with them. So we just came together and we wanted to write books about, you know, girls that do whatever when it's, you know, D involved and how some chicks be like acting like simp for these broke behind dudes with good D. So yeah,
Wait a minute. So Cohart gives the title out to all the authors, and you guys create a story from the title given to you?
It depends. Sometimes we come with our own titles. For me,
uh-huh.
coming up with titles is not easy. So I guess it varies.
Okay.
I don't want to say that's his procedure because it could be different. Mm-hmm. But lately we get titles, and then we go from there. I'm not sure how other publishers...
Well, I thought, you know, I mean, me being a publisher as well, I wait for the author to basically, you know, come to me with what they're working on, and they're coming up with their own, you know, story idea. They're coming up with their, you know, with their title and everything. Now, if you need help with the synopsis, I'll help you with a synopsis, but I pretty much leave it up to the other authors. And from what I remember when I was assigned, I'm basically coming up with my own stuff, like even my title, my story, or like, you know, and then this is what I'm working on, and that's usually how it works, you know. So,
I think that's awesome.
Right.
I love that idea. Now, some authors may not be good with coming up with titles, so I do like the other way for that reason. But I love the idea of working on the book and then coming up with the title. But for me, it's vice versa.
Right. You know, I think that's how it was. Now, I don't have no problem helping an author with coming up with a title once the story is either halfway, you know, complete or once it's complete, you know. But he says that he comes up with a title, and then when he gives you the title, then you just create a story from there. Now, I could do that, too, though, as an author. That's actually not difficult for me at all.
Yeah, it gives you a place to start. Now, if you have a banging story, you know, he's not opposed to taking that and working on a title together. The main thing is coming up with a title that's going to be catchy and that's going to attract readers and sell. So that's pretty much how things are done over there. But you know,
wow,
to me,
okay.
I feel a story speak to you, and you got a story in your brain, and you just want to work on that story. I like that. I like that idea because I have so many different stories in my head. So most of the time what I'll do is have the story already in my head and be thinking of the story that I want, and then I'll just kind of cater it to fit the title to kind of make it work for me.
Right, 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 right. Now, I've purchased a few pre-made covers. You know how, you know, the designers will have the pre-made covers and they'll have titles with on the covers. And if you buy the cover, you have the option to not take the sample title as well.
Uh-huh.
But you also have the option to purchase a lot of authors, graphic designers that sell pre-made, they'll tell you that the title is also included in the price, that you have the option to, you know, to keep that title with the purchase of the cover. And I've actually seen a few, I think I've done that with about four covers, pre-made covers, that I've liked the title that it came with, and I've purchased the title as well, and I've created a story from that title. You know,
yeah,
like if a title.
I've done that too. Some
you say you've done that as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've gotten pre-made covers done by Shaquilla James, and that's how my Tales from the Trap came about, because that's the name of the title that was on the book. And I'm like, can I have the title? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Well, shout out to Shaquilla James, because she's an awesome graphic designer, but she's very good with the titles. Like, I've seen her, some of her pre-made covers with some awesome titles, and the title is sold with the cover.
Yeah, she's very funny.
You know, and then her, shout out to Shaquilla James. Hit her up because I know I've been kicked myself quite a few times that I'll see a pre-made cover that she posts, and then, you know, I wait about an hour or two for whatever reason. I think I might have got distracted. But when I go back to purchase that cover is gone.
Yep, it's definitely gone. I try to get up on them as soon as they drop. But, yeah, she's really talented, so shout out to her.
Right. And most of the time I'm mad because I might have liked the title more than I like the cover, really. But I've purchased covers really because more for the title. And when you see a pre-made cover, you can't just take somebody's title because that's called stealing. I know two authors had got into it before because somebody had took somebody's pre-made title. You can't do that. If you're not buying the cover, you can't just take somebody's title. That's
right,
that's
about
called
that.
Theft, ladies and gentlemen.
You're right
can
about
you
that,
hear me?
Uh-huh.
Right.
I can hear you.
When they were, I'm sorry, it just seems to be a bad connection. I don't know if it's, but the two authors, they were arguing back and forth on Facebook, you know, because one of them had took the title, you know, and they took the title, you know, you can't take somebody's graphic designer's title off their pre-made cover. That's stealing. You know, unless you buy, if you don't, yeah, because if you're not
that's
buying
not the
cover, the you can't pick that
do.
Title, honey.
Can you hear me okay?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you kind of like were going in and out, but I could hear you clearer now, though.
Okay. It's definitely not moral. I don't think it's illegal. I think it's tasteless. And tacky. I would never do it because I don't call it out for it.
I would never do it either.
Yeah.
It's not legally binding, but you know, like, well, why would you do that? Especially most graphic designers, they'll post when they post the covers. Like Shaquilla James, she'll on her fine print, she'll say the title's included with the cover. So if you see her selling a pre-made cover why would you steal the title off her pre-made cover and not buy the pre-made cover for her? Yeah, that's very, like, yeah, that's stealing. I mean, it won't hold up in court, but whatever. Like, you know, why would you even do that? I would never do that, you know.
It's annoying, too. It's like, why? Like,
exactly. But then again, we're dealing with an industry where people steal themes. They steal titles all the time anyway. You know, they steal story ideas.
Yeah.
You know, so. It is what it is. It's a very, sometimes it could be a draining field. I mean, I love being an author, but it's definitely been draining, you know, at some parts. It could be draining. So tell us about, you know, life as an author, like, you know, your journey as an author. You know, has it always been, okay, so you get along with your publisher. That's excellent. I love to hear that because I don't hear that all the time. I've heard some horror stories. When it comes to some publisher-author relationship, so I really love to hear when an author is actually happy with their publisher.
Yeah.
So how have your journey been?
My journey... It started off rough. I struggled with consistency and being like staying on task. That's what I'm like. Mm-hmm. I got like I guess maybe adult ADHD. Like I'll be on one thing and be working on something else the next minute. So in the beginning, it was frustrating. And I was making a little money at first, and then I just wanted to be more consistent. I wanted to have that team, so I signed. And my publisher, to me, he keeps you motivated and he keeps you on task because he's going to hold you accountable. It's like, what are you doing? What are you working on? How's it coming along? So he'll check in. So for those who are not consistent and on task and don't communicate, it works against them. So that was me, missing deadlines. So now I'm just trying to get better. Right now, mm-hmm. I'm focused on and dropping more consistently. I see a lot of authors out there who are so consistent and so – it's such a beautiful thing. Like, it's so motivating. I see – I think it's Diamond D. Johnson. That chick drops every month. Like, she's so hardworking. I think that's awesome, and I would love to be able to emulate that in the near future, just dropping every month with hard work and consistency. So that's pretty much my journey. It's been a struggle in the beginning, but I'm getting better.
Right. Yes. Okay, so I remember it wasn't like, I believe it was in the beginning of the year. I think you had, right before you had took your break, that you were considering self-publishing. Like, is that accurate?
Absolutely. Now, even though I get along with my publisher, there's been times where I kind of like, it was like kind of me versus me thing going on in my head. So I had some doubts and, you know, I had some frustrating points. But when I really sat down, and that was part of the break too, when I really sat down and thought through things and months of no work, and then I came to realize that a lot of the problem was me. So I got back to work and kind of got into the game with a new perspective and how things are done and how I should be doing things versus kind of pushing against people that are trying to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I still love the idea of self-publishing. I'm still going to definitely do some solo projects because I love having control over, you know, the creative part, the title mm-hmm. and the cover. So I'll definitely mm-hmm. be getting with you about pushing that work. I'm excited about that.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So definitely going to drop some of my own projects too.
So, you know, because I encourage that, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But especially now, because you have a fan base where you can do that. You can self-publish in addition to still be under your publisher.
Yeah, I love the versatility.
Yes, most definitely. So how exactly does that work, though, with your publisher? Like, are you able to do that? Because, you know, I know every publisher, you know, has, like, their different, you know, guideline criteria. Like, some publishers don't want their authors self-publishing while they're under contract with them. So are you able to do that? Or some, they allow it, but you can't use the same pen name. So, like, what exactly is the rules? Like, are you able to self-publish? Can you still use Shantae Moore?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Cole is really cool with that. The main thing is he wants to see you, if he's, you know, going behind the scenes and making sure that he's getting you bomb covers and editors, then he expects you to do the same when you put your own work. So I think it's really just don't trash the name, just be consistent as far as quality. If I put a bullcrap cover out, bullcrap editing, and, you know, everything that he's helped me work so hard to build, and I think it would be a problem. But I try my best to try to make sure I got decent covers, and I pay editors. So he doesn't have a problem with it at all. I can use my pen name. I can push my work.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, well, now that I like to hear. That's awesome. Okay, so hold on. We're going to talk about your brand new release that just dropped yesterday. That title, I have to keep looking at the cover. The title just it's kind of long. So I don't like messing up anybody's title. So that's why every time I think I'm about to mess it up, I said, let me go look at the cover. So okay, so your brand new release, The Trillest Boss, Wife, The Baddest Chick. Now that title, did you come up with that or did Cole come up with that?
Cole definitely came up with that.
Okay. All right. So he came up with the title. Now, did you create the story from the title, or he gave you the title once the story was done?
No, he gave me the title, and I had a story that I was working on that I was kind of in love with, the characters, and I kind of tweaked it a little bit to make the title work.
Wow. Okay. All right, one thing about the titles, all of his titles, the titles are long. a lot of the titles from under Cole Hart,
C-A-O-B,
nice and lengthy. shout out to Ms. Biggs, a.k.a. Crystal Lett. I've been promoting for her, you know, for over a year now, and her title is long. I'm like, ooh, that's a long title. But
her personality is everything.
Okay, all right. So, The Trillest Boss, Wife, The Baddest Chick. It's available now, y'all. Make sure y'all head on over to Amazon and one click. And don't forget to leave a review. Let Shantae know what you think about her brand new release. Okay. Hold on. Okay, so I purchased. One thing that I do as a promoter is that I support, you know, all the authors that I promote for. So I'm either going to one click, I'm going to read, I'm going to purchase for sure. So, you know, so, but you've always been one of my personal favorites. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I like my little hood books. And you're one of my top, you know, authors. I discovered you, you know, came to me, you know, to promote, you know. Cole got quite a few authors over there.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know who all of them were until I started. One thing you guys do is support each other, like, and I really like that. So, and I remember Crystal was one of the first author from there, from under Cole Hart, that I actually started promoting for. And it's like, when I was like promoter for her, then here comes the click, you know, like you guys really, you know, y'all need deep to support each other. And I like that. I think that's beautiful, you know. And then once they started, I started promoting for her. I don't know if she referred me or they just saw me promoting for her. They like how I promote. But then, you know, then I was getting hit up by, shout out to Kavina Hopkins. I've been promoted for her since 2021. She had hit me up. And a shout out to Michelle Elaine. Then there was Shanice. And then my girl, you know, Crystal Armstead, she's no longer under Coho, but I've been a fan of hers way before. Like, I didn't even know she was with Cohart until, you know, but she's always been, like, one of my favorite authors, period. But I didn't realize she was with Cohart until, you know, I had, you know, we saw her post, you know, she had shared, I can't remember if it was Crystal's or Kavina, she had shared one of their releases, and she was like, shout out to my punch sister, and I thought, look at Crystal, she, you know, and so, yeah, I didn't look at her, she was a Cohart, but, yeah, shout out to Crystal Offset, but I followed her ever since she was with, me and her came on a scene together. I came on 2015 as well, same as you. And she was under Raquel Williams.
Right.
And I discovered her then, and I've been like a fan of hers. She I've been reading her books since then, you know. And then she kind of like took a little hiatus. I kind of lost track of her. You know, and then, but 2020, matter of fact, I think that's, I discovered Crystal actually in 2020, now that I think about it. That's when I started promoting, was in 2020. I became a promoter in 2020. I believe late 2019, early 2020, I started promoting, and so I discovered Crystal. I forgot the point I was making, girl. I'm sorry. I kind of lost my train of thought. But, no, but you guys, they do support each other, you know. So, I was talking about how I support, you know, my authors. So, yeah, you're one of my, you know, top where I don't just download your book. Like, I purchase stuff. So I got my book. I can't wait to read it. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Right. That's the point I was trying to make. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay, so the Thriller's Boss, Wife the Baddest Chick. Okay, so let's talk about, what's that about? Go ahead. Don't worry about the fact that I haven't read it yet. Because I'm the type of reader, because I'm a reader first before I'm an author, before anything else. I'm one of those readers that you can tell me what a story is about. I'm still going to read it. Like, I'm not going to get all the show, you ruin my, I don't care. Like, I'm still going to read it. I'm going to read it as if I didn't know what you said, that I already know what it's about. So.
So the Trillest Boss, Wife the Baddest Chick. So really, basically, I wanted to take like a trill dude, a dude who's like super real, thorough, honest, and, even though he's a drug dealer, and with someone who's considered like the baddest chick. I did not want to, like, in my last story, A Millionaire Project Chick, she came from the gutter, she struggled, she went through a lot. This chick, I wanted to be different. I wanted her to come from something and then go through the struggle. Basically it's about a young girl who runs into a boss, and she has this guy that she has this love with, and he's so unproblematic. It's like a perfect love without all the struggle. And then it's just snatched away from her. And someone else comes into the picture and, you know, shows her love just by trying to help her. He's a real dude. And it goes from there. But it's a forbidden love story. That's the trope, forbidden love. So basically that's what it's, her trying to figure out if she's going to pursue this love with someone who was really close to the man that she was in love with and had a child by. The guy's family. She has to decide whether or not she wants to move forward. In the meantime, they're trying to find out who killed them, and they're just going through a lot. The family's on some bull crap because it's like, oh, why would you want to deal with this guy, and he was so close to the man that you were with? So it's a lot of drama in there. It's a lot of loyalty issues and who should be loyal to who, and is that even a requirement for somebody who's dead? I'm in love with these characters. I'm loving this story. I can't wait to throw some twists and turns into it. I think it's going to be dope. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so is this going to be a two-part, three-part, or is this a standalone?
I wish it was a two-part because I love two parts. I hate writing three parts. I ain't even going to lie to you.
Right,
but most of the time, it is a requirement that we try to do three parts. But really? My, like I said earlier today, my attention span is like a toddler. So I'll be all happy and excited, and then I'm like, this, it's time for this to end. So, yeah, it'll probably be three parts.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, I don't know if I would survive over there.
Yeah, I hate doing three parts, but it's been effective. And you know what's crazy is, as a reader,
mm-hmm.
I don't really care much for three parts. I like two parts or standalones. But then you got some characters that you just want more of, and a lot of readers out there, they'll buy up three parts. And then you got some people who complain and say this didn't have to be three parts. You do got that 20% of the time, but the other 80%, they eat those three parts up and four parts. I would never write a four part, by the way.
Oh no,
I can't do it.
Well,
can't do it.
Well, what I do is, like, I can't write more. I've done a three part before, and then what I did was I did spinoff. I could do a spinoff, like take, you know, a particular character that didn't get much highlight in the other first two, three parts of a series and give them their own story. I could do that. But to write a 4-5 part of the same storyline, the same characters, like, oh my God, what is, like, there's not that much story in the world.
Yeah, and shout out to you and whoever else can do the spinoffs. I know spinoffs are big. A lot of readers love them, and I love reading them too. I ain't even gonna lie, but I just can't write them.
What, spinoff?
No, I have never wrote a spinoff. I have never wrote a spinoff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Now spinoffs, I get it. I love a spinoff. The readers will ask for a spinoff of a particular character that they love that didn't get, you know, any. Like, I call it a supporting, sort of like, you know, in the movies, you know how they call a character a supporting character. Like, they're not the main character, but they're like supporting character. So I say the same thing for books. Like, you'll have a character who's not the main character, but they're like a supporting character. And, you know, they didn't get as much highlight in the series because, you know, they're not the main character. So if the readers want to know more about them, I've formed a storyline from the readers asking me, you know, like saying they want to know more about a particular character. So then I'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. This is a character. And then before I know it, a story is forming in my head. So,
I've done a spin-off
before. Right, right.
I'm watching them. I love it. And shout out to, like I said, you and the writers that can write spin-offs. Because, you know, your brain has to be really creative to keep a story going in different directions. I love it.
Yes, 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 most definitely. Well, spinoffs, you know, they could be fun. They could be interesting. So, okay, so you don't see yourself doing more than three parts in a series. You don't even like to do a three part. So,
no.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. It could be exhausting. I'm really gonna start navigating towards to doing a standalone.
Yeah, I love songs too. They just have to be, the word count has to be so high. And, yeah. But I love
yeah, because you have to make sure there's no loose end, because it's a standalone. Yeah. There's no continuation. So you gotta make sure you cover all ground.
Yep.
You know, I think sometimes what happens is a lot of authors they get, you know, they get excited, you know, to drop the book, which is why they wrap it up, you know, at, you know, 50,000 words, you know, whatever, and then they decided to make it a part two. But if an author takes the time and write the whole book, then you're going to see yourself at 100 and 100,000, you know. And I remember my third part to my first series, the third part was 114,000 words, and it was the finale. But, you know, everybody was like, damn, how you have that much to say in part three? I said, well, I mean, I'm wrapping everything up. But, you know, but you would have thought that could have been a standalone. I'm like, well, with the other two parts, if I had made the whole book a standalone, then it would have been like over 200,000, 300,000 words.
That's a lot. Definitely to you. Because my, like,
right.
It's a struggle getting 50,000 out of me. I want to do better with that, too, because I feel like I don't want to shortchange the readers. I want to be that chick who's going to deliver a powerful story with the decent word count. So definitely kudos to those who can write big stories like that. Chanel Parker is one of those, too. You want to get a – she does a lot of standalones with heavy word counts. I love reading her work, too.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, well, she stopped doing series years ago, so she when she navigated towards doing standalone. So yeah, when you do a standalone, your word count has to be, you know, if you're doing a standalone and it's only 50,000 words, then you know that don't sound right, because like
yeah,
you can't. There's no way you can't wrap everything up at 50,000 words for a standalone. Like I don't feel it.
No. I don't think so either. Can
so
you hear me okay?
So what's the highest? I can hear you now. You were a little bit,
okay.
You were kind of going in and out, but I can hear you now. So do you find yourself, because I don't focus on the word count when I'm writing. I just let the story flow, you know. Because I know I was doing a collaboration. I'm currently working on a collaboration, and my collab partner, shout out to him. He's like, what's the word count now? What's the word count now? And I'm like, well, damn, wait. You know, why are we focusing on the word count? Just, like, let it flow. Wait. No, because his thing was, he was like, if it's going to be a two-part, you know, he didn't want to surpass a certain thousand words. Like, I'm like, well, who cares, though? Like, if the story is flowing, then just let it flow. And then when it's going to, when we reach the cliffhanger, like, we're going to know. But when I'm telling a story, I'm telling a story. I'm just letting it flow. As the scenes are forming in my head, I'm just writing. And I'm not focusing on the word count, you know, because even if it's going to be a two-part, Once I decide that I'm making a story a two-part, right, then
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let part one flow. And if we're past 65,000 words and the scene is still flowing in my head, then so be it. It doesn't mean that I'm going to run out of stuff for part two. But see, he didn't see it that way. He was like, we're not going to have nothing to write about for part two. He was like, we might as well make it a standalone if we're making the first part 60,000 words. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, nah, see.
The beauty of being an author, it gives you that challenge of adding more to the story.
Right. And that's the whole point of comes in, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so. Okay, so did you enjoy, so how did you feel about, The Chiller's Boss, Vice the Baddest Chick. Okay, so this is going to be this is going to be So part two, did you start working on part two?
Oh, yeah, I'm already working on part two. For me, the longest part is plotting everything out. So what I'm doing is I'm plotting two and three now. So I kind of know where I'm headed, and I won't get off track. And so I won't be bored. But I've already started working on part two. I got some chapters in. And I'm aiming for the receipt.
Okay. All right, well, I'm a definitely, but I'm over there. You guys at Cole Hall, y'all write fast, so I'm going to make sure that I go ahead and open up part one and read that, because before I knew it, I know where you're going to be out with part two. So how long does it usually take you to come on?
Would you say?
You think so?
No, if it takes me too long, I feel like the reader's kind of lose interest. I try to be.
How long does it usually take you to complete a novel?
It depends. If I'm not working and writing a full time, then it's a lot faster. Because for the most part, I write every day. And if I'm writing every day, then I can do comfortably 2,000 to 4,000 words a day. So I can do a novel in a month and a half, depending on the word count.
Okay. Right, do you receive any pressure from your, like, is there a time frame for you to complete a book? Do you ever receive pressure from your publisher?
No, I don't receive pressure from him. No, what I do, he really get on you is you tell him a date, and they're constantly changing. If I say I'm going to have a book done by January 1st, and then January 1st call him, like, I'm not done, it'll be February. And then it'll turn into March. He's pretty flexible with the date changes, but if it's a constant thing, and, you know, you're just BSing, then he'll really get on you about that. That's what my pressure is on that. Because it's like, it's on a plan. And he takes his business pretty
Okay, cool. Well, I can't. I'm going to make sure that I read part one, and I'm going to leave my review. I'm going to hurry up and read it. I'll be ready before you drop part two. So what else are you working on?
I'm working on a re-release. I think you promoted it for me before, but it's been called so many different things. It was Defeat Lies and Alibis, and it became A Cold Love for Myself. And it was in third person. What I wanted to do is write in a first person because I felt like I could tell the story better in first person. And that story was my baby. That was one of my first stories, loosely based on me and when I was living in Philly with my aunt. So that story is stuff like that. And I'm just working on pushing out from third person to first person. So it's going great. And I can't wait to grab it. That story is not everything.
Awesome. Right. Okay, so do you have any more collaborations coming?
No, actually I don't. Not right now. Not to my knowledge.
All right, can you see yourselves doing another collaboration with Shanice? Because you guys did a real good job with that last one.
I would love to do another collaboration with her if she jumps back in. So, yeah, I could definitely see myself doing another collab with her.
Right. We miss you, Shanice.
Yeah,
I think I've seen her. Yeah, she's been very low key. I've seen her on Facebook, I believe. Maybe not last month, the month before. I seen her, you know, she had she didn't really say much. I think she had one of your pen sisters had dropped a book, and I saw her, and I had received a notification that Shanice had shared a link. And I was like, oh, look at Shanice. She's back. But then she disappeared just as quickly. It seemed like she just came on. Right. It seemed like she just came on Facebook just to, you know, share the link. And then she was, like, back to low-key again. Yeah, I miss her. So hopefully you come back soon. Okay, so if a reader never, like, you know, read your catalog, I know, you know, it really makes me so happy as a promoter that, you know, because then that tells me, like, you know, people are really paying attention, you know, that the readers are paying attention to my promos, you know, and stuff. You know, you have, as a promoter, sometimes you deal with ignorance, you know. Like, I had one author who had came in my inbox, and he was like, you know, he was like, I just finished arguing, having a debate with another author. I said, okay, about what? And he was like, about you. I said, about me? Little old me? What y'all was debating over me for? And he said that the other author was saying that my promo page don't get that much traffic and this and that. And I'm like, what? You know, and then, you know, I be having people tag me, other authors or readers tag me saying, oh, I got this book off of Mona Promos page, and, you know, so I remember, shout out to Morgan Lee, you know, me, her name is Yolanda, but she changed her Facebook name to Morgan Lee, but she became a real huge fan of yours, and I remember her tagging me saying, one thing that Mona Promos is always going to do is recommend some good authors, and she became a fan of yours, and she done, you know, I don't know if you realize who I'm talking about, but once she becomes a fan of yours, she, you know who I'm talking about, right? Her name is Yolanda from Morgan Lee, but Yolanda's a very avid reader, and she, you know, me and her go way back, and she's a real, you know, avid reader, and she had discovered you, and she, like, fell in love with you as an author, and she, you know, so, you know, when I get notification, when I get posts and tagged like that, then that makes me feel good, so I'm not going to allow, you know, another person to make me feel bad trying to say that my page, my promo is not attracting traffic, whatever, just because that's your perception, you know, so, you know, so, and then you're going to get, you know, I've got plenty of authors say, you know, you've helped me, you know, gain new readers and stuff, so that, you know, that makes me feel good, so I don't feel bad when one or two people, you know, try to, like, you know, bring you down. That's what this industry is about. It's always going to be one or two people trying to, you know, make you feel bad. So, but I've definitely had, you know, readers come to me, you know, like, ask me, you know, like, oh, do you know when she's going to drop this and such and such, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So do you feel that your fan base, that's not the question I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask it in a minute. But do you feel like your fan base, like, grows each year that you're as a published author?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, the promotion to me helps a lot because there's so many different people. You have so many different friends, or another promoter might have so many different friends. To me, another set of eyes is to me, if a person views your work, even if they don't like it or engage with it, it's somebody else that knows it's there and knows that this person writes. Nobody can purchase what they don't know about. So I think promotion is huge. But yeah, it definitely grows. Go ahead.
Right, and me as a promoter, one thing that I try to do as a promoter, and I think a good promoter, you know, like I promote based on the genre, you know, and I one thing, you know, I try to learn the groups, you know, like urban fiction, like your type of books, you know, you write hood books. So I know all the groups that has the avid, you know, readers that like hood books. So that particular group, For the Love of Urban Fiction, those readers in there, they love some hood books. So I remember when you were saying, that when you had posted, like that night, when you had posted your cover, then I went to go retrieve the cover from your page and it disappeared. And you said you had said, you know, like traffic, you know, something about traffic. You felt like,
uh-huh.
Yeah. But when I promoted your cover in that For the Love of Urban Fiction group, did you see how it had got like at least 25 likes that night? And over 30 readers, 40 readers were asking for packs. That's why yesterday when your book dropped, I went and I made sure I went and I put your link, because I don't know all those people to be tagging them, because if I'm not friends with you, I can't tag you. But whenever mm-hmm. I promote in a group and it gets a huge traffic like that where the readers are asking to be tagged, I always make sure once that author's, you know, book drops that I go back in there and I find that post. And it's easy to find a post under a group. All you guys do is just type the name and then the post will come up.
Yeah,
and
that's what I love about the promo, because things that I might not know, you know. And honestly, I think I put it on my page, and the people that I'm friends with, they're not. Some of these people, like that I'm friends with, are not even readers. I really want to unfriend them. But I'm like, you're not even a reader. You know, it's
right.
And then the people that are readers is not even seeing it. So it's like, I need promo. Like forever,
like
it's always awesome for somebody else to push with me.
Well, that's why, like, in addition to tagging you, like tagging author on the when I promote on the main page, I also at least once a day I'm posting the link on the author's page. So then readers who are not on my Mona Promote page, that they, you know, they can't say, oh, I missed Shantae's Moore's release, because I make sure. But some authors, I guess you turn the setting off that it's not allowing me to do that. Some people don't like people posting on their page, so I don't see. So I don't have that option to post a link on your page. You know, so but you know, I'm constantly, you know, tagging you anyway, even if it's not showing up on your page. You can put on the setting to have it shown up on your page. If you want, you know, readers to see your link on your page, but they can't miss it. They can't say they don't know your book drop, because you post on your page as well. So, you know, I saw one reader be saying, oh, I didn't know she dropped the book. I'm like, yeah, but she got her link on her page. You know, so.
But honestly, right now, with my book dropping and coming back, I was a little nervous and apprehensive, because there's some heavy hitters on that chart right now. And I'm like, oh, I'm dropping near all these people. So it was a little nerve-wracking, but I think the book still did well. But it was definitely intimidating to see some of them heavy hitters dropping around the same time that I was.
I haven't put my book under that category in years, you know, because I feel like, that urban fiction category, I haven't, only my very first series was under there, and my publisher put it under there, and technically I never felt like I should have been under there, because my book, I'm more like urban romance, and I'm not really urban like that, but I was in that, you know, for my very first series, my very first book, I was in there, and I was number two for, you know, I stayed number two for almost 2.5 months.
In urban?
And, you know, yeah.
Urban is a hard, it's hard to chart.
Yes, it is. It's a very, yes. And that's why when, you know, now people say, oh, she fell off, this and that. You know, I'm like, listen, I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I stayed on the chart number two for almost 3 months. You can't tell me nothing.
You're right about that.
You know, so I don't have to prove myself to anybody. And my, you know, my very first book has over 300 reviews. I don't feel like I have anything to prove to anybody. But that category is very hard. So, and I haven't put none of my books under there, because even when I re-release those books, it's not on there, under there.
Yeah, it's hard to chart an urban romance too.
Right.
Yeah,
but you did pretty good though. You did pretty good. So, then you got a lot of people who's putting books under there who don't even belong under there.
That takes my soul, and I'm like, why are you on here? Mm-hmm.
A couple of authors made a post about that yesterday. It's getting really annoying, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like other genders, you know, they're not the same skin color, you know, that's what people were saying. And it's not fair. Like, why do you have your books under here? Like, you're not urban fiction. There's nothing urban about your book.
They do it because for them it's easier to chart in our genres versus theirs. So once they get in that algorithm, my guys, it's just weird how to show up.
Right. All right, everybody. Okay, so you have 5 minutes to call in to speak to Shantae Moore before we wrap it up. 646-378-0355. My co-host Serena Reed, she's actually calling in, Shantae. So just give me a second. I'm gonna bring her in. I think she wanted to, you know, have a question for you. So stand by. I'm about to bring in Serena Reed, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Queens. How y'all doing, Queens?
We're good.
How are you? That's good. How's the show been going? I mean, I'm over here listening. You didn't even have to bring me in. I'm over here listening to y'all.
Well, you know, we're chatting with Shantae Moore. Shantae, this is my co-host, Serena Reed. Serena, this is Shantae Moore.
Peace,
hi.
How are you doing today?
Good.
I don't really have no questions, but I am looking forward to reading your book and getting deeper into your catalog. I see the title, it's amazing, and I'm already looking forward to reading the book. I've downloaded it, so I was going to read and go ahead and read my review.
I definitely appreciate it. I love, you've never read anything by me, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, that's even better. I get excited when I get a new reader. Definitely, please listen and give me an honest opinion of how you feel about this story. I love hearing feedback. Love it. I go through all my reviews one by one. I don't care if it's at 1,000.
Me too.
Yeah, well, it's
and
like
I want everybody else to
too. Definitely what we're giving.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I read my reviews and everybody else's. I be on Amazon late at night, in the middle of the night, when I can't sleep, reading other people's reviews.
I sure do, too. And some of them I go in the ones, right, in the twos, and I'm like, because y'all know this story wasn't that day going good. I want to see if somebody else thinking like I'm thinking.
Right. I'd be like, now you know damn well this story was
really
not good.
I sure do jump right in.
I want to see what y'all got to say. And I'm looking for that one review that agree with me. Like, this story was not it. And I'd be like, yes, okay, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one that felt that same way.
If I do have a question,
my only question would be, I don't know if y'all covered this basis already. I apologize for being late. It's my son's birthday, so I had to go celebrate his birthday. But my
happy
only
birthday,
question
Trey.
Would be, happy birthday, baby boy. Yes. What inspired you to, you know, get out there and start writing and become, you know, an author, get your stuff published and everything?
Well, I was telling Mona earlier, I started writing around 2015. And when I was a kid, I wrote poems and wrote lots of books. So around the time the Cameron series by Jay Jones came out, I was just day and night just reading it, And I started reading more about her and just her story and her tips on how to self-publish is what inspired me to go for it. Because to me, I feel like Jay Jones is very transparent and she's so down to earth. And she kind of has that way about her where it's like, if I can do it, so can you. And you guys, a lot of people in the industry that, you know, I consider heavy hitters that are not going to tell you anything. So she's one of the ones that will tell you things and kind of guide you. So that's what inspired me, is just reading her story and seeing how just a regular girl from, I think she's from Cleveland, how she went and put herself out there. And I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. So that's where I went with it. That's what
inspired me. There we go. All right. That's definitely interesting.
Yeah. Any other questions? My phone is like on 4%. I am sorry, y'all. It's dying.
No, it's okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. So just give a shout out to all your social media, you know, where the readers can find you and if you have a website.
Shante Moore on Instagram, same thing on Facebook. I just go by first and last name, make it easy to find me. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on Goodreads as well. And I'd be in the reading groups as well because I'd be reading. I'm a pretty avid reader as well. I don't leave a lot of reviews, though, because I'm a writer, and I don't like to feel like I'm throwing shade on nobody. So if I can't give you a 5-star, then I won't leave a review, even if it's a 4-star. But, yes, they can find me on all those platforms. Hit me up.
Yes. All right.
And thank you so much for having me.
I agree with you. I do the same thing. Like, sometimes I don't be wanting to leave reviews because I don't want nobody to be like, oh, you just hating on me because I'm an author and you're an author or something like that. So I do have an Amazon site, and it's actually connected under my you know, my real name. So if anybody figured it out, they'll know it's for me. But I keep it real. But if I got something negative to say, I try to keep it to myself. But if I got anything, I try my best to leave all positive reviews. Sometimes you can't help but to be honest about a book that you invested your time and money into. So sometimes I still will leave a review. Ain't nobody came at me yet, but I don't have a problem letting people know what my name is on Amazon. That way they'll know, hey, this is me leaving my review. And if people want to think I'm hating, they can think I'm hating. But, oh, well, I read the whole book. And I'm pretty sure, like you said, we go through some reviews and we see some people and we be like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm not the only person that don't like this story. So if I'm not the only person that don't like it, then you can't get mad. I can understand if I'm the only person that don't like the story. But if it's several other people that don't like it for the same way I feel, then shoot, my review is legit.
Mm-hmm. I like
this.
Right.
What's your name? Look at yours.
Her name's Serene Ari.
Serene,
S-E-R-E-N-E, Ari, A-R-I-E.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then
yes,
if you
yes.
ever see a review from if you ever see a review from someone and it's called "It's Girl Who Reads," that's me too. So on Amazon, you see a review from "Girl Who Reads," that's me too, and I'm giving, you know, honest feedback. I'm being honest about how I feel about their story or whatever, but that you know, that's my full name, Serena Ree, and then on Amazon, and if I leave a review, it's Girl Ree.
Okay. Well, definitely, I'm
going to
look. I didn't know you had that book out. Whatever book you were telling me about that was that charted for a while. I'm going to definitely get up on some of your stories as well. I love finding new readers. I mean, new authors as well.
Yes. All righty. Okay, so we're about to sign off. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you head on over to Amazon. One click, Shantae's More, brand new release, the Trillis. I'm sorry, the Trillis. Am I messing up your title? I'm so sorry, because I'm not looking at the cover. The Trillis, give us your title, please. I'm sorry.
The Trillis Boss Wife, the Baddest Chick.
Yes. I don't know why I always say chick. The Trillis Boss Wife, the Baddest Chick is now available on Amazon.com. Make sure you leave Shantae a review. And make sure you get ready for part two. Thank you so much, Shantae.
Thank you. Have a good night.
We want you to come back once part two is finished and then part three. All righty. Okay, we're signing off, everybody. Have a good night. Bye, Crystal.
I try and make a next motherfucking scene up in her. Fucking she wrote. Come on,
much money does this
Yellow beat. At me.
And you be on some hot nigga. Like I told Tish, I see when I shot nigga. Like you seen him twirl, then he drop, nigga. And we keep the mind millies on my block, nigga. And Mate keep it on him, he done drop, nigga. And we be wildin', he some hot, nigga. Tones known to get busy with some blocks, nigga. Try to run down and you can catch a shot, nigga. Running through these tracks till I pass out. The shorty give me neck till I pass out. I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't a hoe, get up on my trap house. I've been selling crackers like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with the shit made. Jaja told me to them pack and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out. I be getting money till I fall out. You talking cash, dog, I go all out. Shorty love the way that I flow out. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no pussy cats inside my dog house. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan on them, let all of my dogs out. We gon' pull up in that pussy like we cops on them. With them 16s, we gon' put them shots on them. I send a little dot. Send a drop on him. She gon' call me up and I'ma stick the hot on him. Grammy savage, that's what we are. Grammy shooters dressed in G-Star. GS9, I go so hard. But GS for my gun squad. And bitch, if there's a problem, we gon' gun brawl. Shots poppin' out the AR. I'm with Trigger, I'm with Rasha, I'm with A-Raw. Broad daylight and we gon' let them things blow. Tell them niggas free me, she ho. Subway, free breezy ho. And tell my niggas murder teaming ho.
Bitch, caught up body.
About a week ago, Fuck with us and then we tweaking ho. Run up on that nigga, get the squeezing ho. Everybody catching bullet holes. Niggas got me on my bully yo. I'ma run up with that gun on him, gun on him. I'ma run up, go dumb on him. Niggas got me on that young shit. Got me on that go dumb shit.
Got me on that go dumb shit, man. Trap mode in this motherfucker. Hotter than a bitch. Hey, yo, pull up. I need some more drinks.